Welcome back to Sound Medicine. I'm Barbara Lewis. Now that the FDA has ordered a company called 23andMe to stop marketing its personal genomic analysis service, the company has had to change its business model. 23andMe now offers what it calls uninterpreted raw genetic data and ancestry-related genetic reports. But that hasn't entirely stopped the controversy. I asked our healthy living expert, Dr. Teresa Rohr-Kirschgraber, what she thought about the notion of getting your own personal genomic profile done.
You have to kind of question a little bit what's the validity of the test to begin with. Part of really validating a test is to know that the results that you get from that actually mean something. And that's where one of the biggest issues with this personal genomic services came into being is, so you get a screen, you find that you may have a gene for a specific condition, but you don't have any symptoms of that condition. There's nobody in your family that's had that condition. You know, what do you actually do with that information? I think that the goal for any kind of a screening test is to screen for something in which, if you can help prevent that from occurring, you save time, you save money, and you prevent disease.
Well, do you ever order genetic testing on patients or use information based on their genetic risks when treating them?
There are some very, very specific cases in which the genetic testing has been just fabulous. One, for example, is in BRCA 1 and 2. This is specific genetic testing for breast cancer and ovarian carcinoma. With these, if a patient comes in with a family member who has had a malignancy, say a breast cancer, and we know that that person was BRCA positive, then we can test the patient. Say, you know, a mother comes in stating that she was positive for the gene and developed breast cancer. The daughter is now concerned, is she going to have the same potential? So at least doing the genetic testing on the daughter may give her some ability to be proactive in her own care. However, it's also not an absolute. It's definitely more likely if the mother has the gene and develop the disease, and the daughter has a gene, that yes, there's a potential for her to have it, but not necessarily. Not having the gene in and of itself doesn't mean you absolutely will develop the condition in certain settings.
Mm-hmm. Would you trust a report that's not from a healthcare provider?
Numerous times I'll have the test redone because results do vary from lab to lab. That's true. It depends, though, on what the testing was for. There are a lot of tests out there that really don't mean anything. So a lot of times it may require additional testing to either prove or disprove what the send-away test was being done.
So it sounds like not so much. If it's not done by a healthcare provider, you're going to be a little suspicious. But even if it is done by a healthcare provider, are you saying you probably would double check?
It depends on what the test was. For example, a saliva test for cortisol, for example, doesn't really tell me a whole lot in terms of how your adrenal glands are actually working. I really need to have some specific blood tests. And then there are some other ways of doing that test that helps you determine, is it really a problem or not? So that initial first kind of screening test that's done, whether it's done by a healthcare provider or not, it's more the design of the test, the validity of that testing, and how those results actually impact on what's going on with the person. So most of the time, that initial screening test that you did by online and sending away has to be redone in a different, more valid process. So what ends up happening is that somebody who may or may not be having any symptoms then comes back in with things, and I've got to reaffirm or disprove that by doing additional testing. Every time you do a test, there's a potential for there to be something that requires additional work and additional time and costs. So I'm not a big proponent of doing things just randomly. There usually has to be a real decision made in terms of what's going on with that person, why you ordered that specific test.
You know, the opinion piece that was in the Annals of Internal Medicine, the author pointed to a future when patients have access to more and more diagnostic tools that they can use on their own, like a home ultrasound machine. How do you see the healthcare system merging information that the patients create with the information that doctors create?
Well, it is going to be a little bit difficult, especially because with the direct-to-consumer marketing, their goal is not necessarily to provide good health care. Their goal is to sell a product. When your goal is to sell a product, you really don't care how it's used as long as somebody's buying it. It just then creates more of a backlog and more of a hassle for the physician to try to disprove or prove whatever their thing was. And I guess you could say, you know, an example is that somebody who has this genetic test finds out that they have Crohn's disease or they have the gene for Crohn's disease, but has absolutely no symptoms at all and no family history. Should then we as providers go through doing a colonoscopy, doing blood work, doing things on somebody in which there is no current complaints? Is that really necessary? So I think it's going to create more angst in patients' minds. I think as providers, we're already seeing some of that. Patients have a complaint, look it up online, and they come in with a differential that's 10 pages long, and they get very concerned that that ache in their shoulder is actually a osteogenic sarcoma that needs to be removed right now, when actually that doesn't fit with their current symptoms. I mean, that's part of the reason why you go through schooling and you go through training, is to help you figure out, you know, what's real and what isn't. It's helpful, and we want an informed consumer. We want patients. We want people to look things up and read about things and understand how to take care of themselves. But what we don't need is for folks to diagnose themselves and come in for validation of that. We need for you to look to keep yourself as healthy as possible by doing all the right things, by helping us to come to the right decision. But we also don't need you to overdo it and create huge potential problems in your mind by only looking at select things.
All right. Well, Dr. Teresa Rohrkirch-Graber, thank you so much.
Thank you, Barb.
Dr. Teresa Rohrkirch-Graber is with Eskenazi Health Center of Excellence for Women's Health and an associate professor of clinical medicine and pediatrics at the IU School of Medicine.